Welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, cha wee wee va kat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary, industrial, core, poor nation. In the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA. Home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts. And the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I'm still gagging, thinking about all the hot dog eating contests. We reported on the Nathan's episode again, last week's program. And, yes, it kind of makes me gag. It is, you know, people shoving the corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction down their throat, and it actually can get caught in your throat. You know, there's an article in USA Today. Pediatricians call for a choke-proof hot dog. Yes, thinking of it should make you gag, and actually eating it tends to make children gag, send them to the hospital. It says nutritionists have long warned of the perils of hot dogs, the fat, the sodium, the preservatives, to name a few. Let's see if I find my notes. I'll name more. You know, so say associated with cancer. It's the cancer season, the hot dog eating season now. You know, still through Labor Day weekend. So it says here now in USA Today. Now the American Academy of Pediatrics wants foods like hot dogs, foods like hot dogs to come with a warning label, not because of their nutritional risk, but because they pose a choking hazard to babies and children, and actually to anyone who thinks about them. Better yet, the Academy would like to see foods such as hot dogs redesigned, perhaps into, you know, vegetables. Be better for the kids, so that their size, shape, and texture make them less likely to lodge in a youngster's throat. More than 10,000 children under 14 go to the emergency room each year after choking on food, and up to 77 die. So that's a new policy statement published online in Pediatrics. It says about 17% of food-related asphyxiations are caused by hot dogs. And yes, I gag just thinking about them, the hot dog eating season. I guess you have, political season also, where you have all of the candidates out there hot dogging and, running around and, slamming down those wieners. You know, they're just slamming down the wieners and the sausage. You know what they say about how ugly it is to see how sausages, how sausage and politics, are made. Both pretty ugly, and put them together, and it's like, and then politicians going around. I don't want one of those with a, don't kiss my baby with your salmonella mouth. Don't touch my baby with your E. coli hands. It's kind of disgusting. I don't know. No vegans running. No vegans running for the top office. Bernie Sanders is quite possible. Is quite popular right now. Is attracting big crowds, but he's certainly not a vegan coming from Vermont. Ben and Jerry's state, you know, where they're promising a vegan ice cream flavor in the spring. Yay, Ben and Jerry's, you are now absolved from all the cow rape and murder and torture because you promise a vegan flavor next spring. And Hillary Clinton has her connection with Tyson Foods. So, no Dennis Kucinich in the race. You know, who are the vegans? Who, you know, Dennis Kucinich has run for office. Cindy Sheehan has run for office. You know, I don't really want to vote for anybody who doesn't know how to feed him or herself. You know, it's kind of crazy. So, anyway, this is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and it's hard to believe that I am a vegan radio host. I gag thinking back on my childhood when I actually won a hamburger eating contest. I won a White Castle hamburger eating contest. 30 hot dogs at age 16. I live to tell about it, but it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for me now. Don't try it. Don't try it at home. And really, you know, at this point, if we look at what we're eating, it's really this diet of killing, you know, killing everyone and everything in sight, killing the planet, this diet of death. And, well, I guess that's what makes this radio program the most important program in all of media. You know, you won't find in the ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, Fox censorship channel any such program that promotes veganism like we do here. And also we're organizing the second World Vegan Summit and Expo, which will be happening next July 29th, 30th, and 31st. That's July of 2016. It will happen on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. That will be the most important event you can ever attend. Why? Because this is the, here are the solutions to all of the problems we have. Climate change and, you know, extinction. Is extinction important to you and avoiding it? Well, if we're told by the top climate specialists in the world, at the World Bank, that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, and then look what happens. It creates drought conditions we have here in the West, and extinction on the horizon. Those same climate specialists tell us that the only way to address climate change is a massive human population shift to going vegan by 2020. I wish more vegans were not so shy about having other people go vegan, because that is the most important thing we can do. And it is related to extinction. The Independent, with an article, the headline saying, Earth enters the sixth extinction phase with many species, including our own, labeled the Walking Dead. So including, that would be Homo sapiens, our own species, the Walking Dead. Well, that's no surprise. Look, your stomach is a cemetery. Now look at all the dead buried in your stomach. You are a walking cemetery. You are the Walking Dead. And now an article about extinction says we are the Walking Dead. It says the planet is entering a new period of extinction, with top scientists warning that species all over the world are essentially the Walking Dead, including our own. Do you care about your children? Could you consider going vegan for them? Oh, no, they want to go to McDonald's for the playground. Okay. Oh, and it's a Happy Meal? Happy for whom? So the report, authored by scientists at Stanford, Princeton, and Berkeley, where we will be holding the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can go to worldvegansummit.com for early bird tickets. right now on sale. Join us at the most important event. If you'd like to help prevent extinction, tickets are only $77 for adults, $67 for college students until August 1st. And that's any college you attend anywhere in the world. That discount applies to you. It's your world, the one about in which you are about to go extinct if we don't go vegan, if you don't join us in Berkeley next year. So, the report, authored by scientists at Stanford, Princeton, and Berkeley, found that vertebrates were vanishing at a rate 114 times faster than normal. That means us. In the damning report, it says here, published in the Science Advances Journal, researchers note that the last similar event was 65 million years ago when dinosaurs disappeared, most probably as a result of an asteroid. This time, 65 million years later, probably the result of your chicken nuggets. So it says here, we are now entering the sixth great mass extinction event. One of the authors of the paper told the BBC, Gerardo Ceballos, lead author of the research, added, quote, if it is allowed to continue, life would take many millions of years to recover, and our species itself would likely disappear early on, end quote. The research examined historic rates of extinction for vertebrates, finding that since 1900, more than 400 vertebrates have disappeared, an extinction rate 100 times higher than in other non-extinction periods. Quote, there are examples of species all over the world that are essentially the walking dead, said Stanford University professor Paul Ehrlich. We will continue our discussion, our listeners, the sitting dead with headphones, and coming up, a benefit for the San Francisco Vegetarian Society and vegan education in the New York City area on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio and goveganradio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and a couple of extraneous Bob Linden pages on Facebook that are usually maxed out until somebody gets upset with me and then leaves an opening for perhaps you to be my friend. Before the break, we were talking about going extinct together. Why? Well, would you go vegan if it meant preventing going extinct? Would you? I mean, it's like, oh, you would? You would do anything to prevent extinction, right? To create a better world for your children. Oh, what? But you don't want to give up your meat. I get it. Okay. Well, okay. So we'll all go extinct together. In fact, let's make it happen faster. Eat double the meat. Forget it. Forget the show. It's not Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden anymore. It's go eat more and more and more meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Okay. So we can go extinct even faster. I was citing an article in The Independent covering research from a number of prestigious universities. So in it, it said, quote, there are examples of species all over the world that are essentially the walking dead, said Stanford University professor Paul Ehrlich. We are included in them. He added, we are sawing off the limb that we are sitting on. The research, which cites climate change, pollution and deforestation as causes for the rapid change, notes that a knock-on effect of the loss of entire ecosystems could be dire. But just that point, by the way, extinction being caused by climate change, the number one cause of climate change, animal agriculture responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Not according to me, because I love animals and want to say that, but according to World Bank climate specialists, the top climate specialists in the world. So, extinction because of animal agriculture. Our appetite, well, not my appetite, your appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. I'm not blaming you. You can take responsibility and go vegan today if you'd like to avoid extinction. But, you know, maybe we're just that kind of species, and we'd like to take everyone else with us too, right? So so the cause, the researchers say, climate change. Then they say pollution. Okay, well, just in the case of water, animal agriculture, you know, your appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, responsible for half of all water usage, half of all water pollution. What else is on the list that's leading us toward extinction? Deforestation. As the forests are chopped down to feed animals whom you eat, or grow the feed, the nice GMO soy to feed them, that's causing it. So, I don't know. It seems to me that consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is turning out to be just about the most aberrant human behavior, the most destructive human behavior possible, if extinction matters, right? It says, as our ecosystems unravel, the Center for Biological Diversity has noted that we could face a snowball effect whereby individual species extinction ultimately fuels more losses. The report, which builds on findings published by Duke University last year, does note that averting this loss is, quote, still possible through intensified conservation effects, but that window of opportunity is rapidly closing, end quote. Is this the most important radio show ever in the media? I love it. Although I do want to start my music radio station. I don't want to go extinct so too fast, because I want to get Radio Bobby on the air. RadioBobby.com. Almost there. I have all the songs that I want to play. You know, that's what I used to do, you know, like in real life, before animal issues, veganism took over my life, and this program, which started 14 years ago. I was a music program director around the country and playing music and hoping that it made people's lives happier. And haven't been doing that because I didn't know that there actually is a way for me to cover music publishing fees, ASCAP, BMI, etc. So we'll talk more about that. I don't want to go extinct. I want to play music on Radio Bobby. Please help me. Go vegan. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You can click Donate at GoVeganRadio.com. where there are hundreds of free archives. We've been broadcasting now for over 14 years. Also, the World Vegan Summit and Expo is happening next July. That's July of 2016, July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. And we have early bird discounted tickets available right now at worldvegansummit.com. Just $77 for the full 3 days for adults, $67 for college students, whatever college you might attend. And those prices are good until August 1st. And now, we welcome to the program Andreas Knittel, who is a, well, he's a photographer in the Bay Area who is involved with a couch surfing vegan project. And so, well, welcome, Andreas, to my couch surfing vegan project here for 14 years. We've had to pay for airtime along the way, and I thought the airtime was a better money better spent than rent, you know. So, tell us about your couch surfing vegan project. What are you up to?
It's amazing. The vegan community is so supportive and welcoming. It's a worldwide family, you know. And you know, when you arrive at a vegan household, the fridge is amazing. You know, it's full of life and not death.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, and what are you doing? Your project is what are you doing for your?
It is the art of survival, which is kind of a going away party before I like go out into the world photographing vegans. And what I do is, as a photographer, I'm such a concert addict. I go out to concerts, local, you know, up-and-coming bands, and I drop the V-bomb, you know, saying, hey, I'm vegan, and I find out if there are vegan members in the band. So now I've come up with this vegan art and music festival. We're also going to have amazing food, vegan food there as well, and we've got quite the lineup. I'm pretty excited about this.
Okay, so you're going around and photographing vegans? Is that the idea, that you're just...
Yes, exactly. I'm on a large amount of vegan meetup groups. One of my favorites is the San Francisco Vegans in Technology. Another one I really like is the Bay Area Fruit Luck. So I'm starting out in the Bay Area to photograph vegans and their startups, their ideas, their dreams, and their hobbies, you know, doing what they love to get that out there, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah,
show how amazing the community is,
and that it is the heroes of the world for sure. You gotta you gotta love those vegans. So so you started telling us about how did you become vegan by the way?
Being seduced, you know, a beautiful woman, brilliant woman, lots of like, you know, very successful and athletic, so. I mean, that's how I believe we got to bring people into this movement and show how beautiful it actually is and how adventurous it can be for a foodie, you know? There's so many good restaurants out there these days, so many entrepreneurs creating these amazing dishes.
We do have the best food, that's for sure. We do like to eat, so, yeah. Yeah. You started talking about the Art of Survival on July 26th, yeah. An event that's a benefit for the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, and it's regular annual World Veg Festival. So tell us about what's happening with that.
It was kind of funny when I was on Meetup looking through all the Meetup groups, and even though the San Francisco Vegetarian Society's Meetup page was the biggest, I thought I didn't want to join it because, like, oh, they're going to serve cheese there. But then, you know, I went to World Veg Fest, and I did check it out, and I found out that it's kind of this covert vegan thing. So every event you go to, they don't serve cheese. You know, it's a vegan thing.
And, well, it's had the name for so many decades. See, that's the thing. So many, you know, I mean, Vegetarian House in San Jose is a vegan restaurant. It's great, you know, the Vegetarian Society, this Vegetarian Summerfest. So for many decades, a number of entities have had the the name vegetarian, and then along the way, it got compromised with the lactose and the ovos, you know? What's that about, you know? So.
Well, you know, it was, you know, the veganism comes from vegetarians, you know, that movement in the 60s where, you know, they built what we have now, and we've evolved, and this is about an evolution that we are moving towards something like the Starship Enterprise. Like, they didn't have factory farms or slaughterhouses on the Starship Enterprise. They just generate food, you know, out of different atoms, and there you go. And that's where we're going. You know, when I meet up with the San Francisco Vegans in Technology, and I hear these amazing companies pitching their vegan ideas and really showing how they're actively changing the world, it's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so let's see. So you're involved with vegan leaders and corporate professionals on LinkedIn. I have tended to avoid LinkedIn, but I thought that vegans were too protein deficient to be corporate professionals. But I guess I'm wrong, huh?
Nope. We're out there. We're disrupting the big corporate system as well. Yes, I met a CEO from the Regenerative Leadership Institute, and he's all about permaculture, and he's a strong advocate of veganism. So he told me to join this group, which will be a grand resource for me when I'm photographing these vegans and vegetarians, because eventually I'll be photographing celebrities. And to photograph these high-profile vegans, I'm really looking forward to it.
That's vegan leaders and corporate professionals on LinkedIn. So,
yeah.
All right, I guess I have to look into that and see the folks who should be coming. I hope to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I hope they'll join us there. It'd be great to have them. You know, so
yeah, the leader, the group founder actually gave me a list of the corporate leaders that are in the Bay Area. So I sent them all invitations for the VIP section of the Art of Survival. We're going to have some jackfruit. It's one of my favorite fruits, like the biggest fruit in the world. It looks like this alien egg. I mean, you slice it open, and it's got these yellow pods that are wrapping around seeds. And I mean, it really looks like something from Alien, like as if a facehugger is going to jump out at you, but it doesn't. It tastes like candy, like Starburst candy. It's like, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
jackfruit.
The fruitarian,
so you're saying there'll be jackfruit at the Art of Survival, this event that you're having, right? Is that what you're
for the VIPs? For the VIPs and vegan chocolate, Miyoko Shinner's cheese. That's and we got you know, gift certificates to the Millennium Restaurant, two tickets, and we got all other kinds of raffle prizes. So I'm pretty excited about this.
Okay, so how can people find out about this, and is there a website? How can they attend, get involved?
There is. Currently, there's no website right now. It's just on Facebook. It's on meetup.com under the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, the Sacramento Vegetarian Veg Society, and Marin Vegan Events, North Bay Vegan Events. We're also on the Harmony Connections and Deborah Recommends website. And I have an informant on a major publication in San Francisco that's working on a story. So I hope that gets approved so we get more people into the public works in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
this event.
Well, it's called The Art of Survival. What's it called? The full name is?
The Art of Survival, yes. And we have amazing artists, all sourced from the vegan vegetarian community. We got Cello Joe, who's a beatboxing cellist. He loops everything live right in front of you, building up layer upon layer of like him plucking the strings, then playing the cello and beatboxing and singing. It's pretty intense. And then we got Boingo Boingo, an all-female cover band of Oingo Boingo. Two of their members are vegans. One's been vegan for 10 years. We got the Moonsaults, which is a new band that just formed. I watched, I think it was like the Big Fat Vegan radio show, and I found out that a local vegan, Melissa Elliott, who's been a longtime vegan advocate, beauty blogger about vegan fashion products and makeup. And she just formed a new band, and they just, I mean, I've been pushing them to get their demo tracks out and online. I already photographed them for the event to announce that they're playing there. So that's also really exciting. And then we got a world-renowned vegan advocate, Will Tuttle, who is the author of The World Peace Diet. He's going to be playing piano and speaking a few words there. And then we have the Factory Farming Awareness Coalition, who's going to be speaking there between bands, and the Food Empowerment Project, which is also going to be speaking in between bands.
Mm-hmm. Great. And of course, well, I don't make a distinction between factory farming and any animal farming. I think people should just say, forget animal farming, basically.
The animal industry,
agriculture, animal farming, it's all, you know, well, it's hard to even define anymore. Well, what does it even mean? You know, family farms are, you know, huge, gigantic, all just so awful. So we need to help people to go vegan. So you expect a lot of the vegan leaders, the corporate professionals, to be attending the Art of Survival?
Yes, definitely, in the VIP booth.
Terrific. Okay. All right. So once again, how can people find you, it, them?
I'm under Dynamic Eye Studios. I have a website, www.dynamiceyestudios.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for being with us today, and best of luck with the event, the benefit for the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. Thanks for being with us today, Andres.
All right.
We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and a couple of Bob Linden pages on Facebook. Also on Facebook, there we do have a page for the World Vegan Summit and Expo 2016, coming up July 29th, 30th, and 31st of next year. And yes, Professor Gary Francione will be involved. He will make presentations on a daily basis, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So all 3 days. We'll have some of the illustrious people who were at the first World Vegan Summit and Expo, and new friends coming up at this one, which will be on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. And early bird discounted tickets are on sale right this very moment, until August 1st. For 3 days, you can get to see all the speakers. It's just $77 for adults and $67 for college students, no matter what college or university you might attend anywhere in the world. And we'd love to have you there and help us save the world. I think we're going to have a water and drought crisis forum, a climate change forum, climate crisis forum. So please join us. Go to worldvegansummit.com, worldvegansummit.com. You can purchase your early bird discount tickets right now or wait till after the program. I see I got an email from Karen Shook of Kindred Spirits. Kindred Spirits Care Farm, which had a table at the first World Vegan Summit and Expo. And she emailed me. She was on the program some months back, but this email, she says, well, you know that we care for about 40 animals at this little farm on the school grounds of a high school for at-risk kids. And Karen says one of the two alpacas, Evan, just had an accident and needs emergency surgery. He has a torn ACL and can't use his back leg. And the only option is surgery, and that's going to cost $3,000 to $4,000. And then Karen tells us that Kindred Spirits Care Farm doesn't have that kind of money. It's a small sanctuary. And so I don't know if there's anybody in the audience who can help, or veterinarian who wants to donate services, or you know, somebody who just wants to, you know, help with the situation. But anyway, that's Kindred Spirits Care Farm, Karen Shook, and you know, she's saying, you know, Evan's life matters, and she wants to show the kids as an example that, you know, his health is important and he deserves the surgery. And we hope it happens. And, you know, hopefully there's, you know, to make life easier, it would be great if there were a veterinarian who could do that surgery and donate those services. Also, I want to thank Vegetarian House. Vegetarian House Vegan Restaurant for its support of the first World Vegan Summit and Expo, which was in the LA area this past March, and excited that it's coming to the Bay Area. So, Vegetarian House is 100% vegan, organic, one of the most outstanding restaurants you can ever experience. If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, you owe it to yourself to visit this wonderful place, 520 East Santa Clara Street. And Vegetarian House caters. If you have a social event coming up, you're getting married, a business event in the Bay Area, get in touch with Vegetarian House. That's vegetarianhouse.us, vegetarianhouse.us. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And you can donate, click donate at goveganradio.com. Once again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We are syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, broadcasting inexplicably now for over 14 years, as heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations around the country. And you can hear us on iTunes and Stitcher, and we're glad you're with us. We're live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. You can also click Listen Live at goveganradio.com at that time. And let's see, this week Professor Gary Francione was at the Vegetarian Summerfest doing the keynote speech. So he's off tonight, back next week. As I mentioned, he will be making three presentations, one each day at the second annual, the new improved 2.0 World Vegan Summit and Expo, happening next July 29th, 30th, and 31st, that's 2016, on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. However, We have a teacher interested in teaching veganism on this week's program. So we will still examine vegan education. Tonight we will do that with Neil Sagal, who is an educator, activist, and multimedia artist with a master's in education from Montclair State University. A number of his experimental short films have been screened internationally. He, as I said, he's a school teacher in New Jersey. He's the founder of Evolve for Animals in 2010. And welcome, Neil. How are you today?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Terrific. Terrific. Just here trying to help everybody go vegan, you know, to avoid extinction and neutralize climate change, doing our thing.
Right. That's the plan, Bob. That's the plan.
That's the plan. And saving animals, the first love, the first reason for doing all of this. So tell me, how have you become involved in all of this? You seem like a fairly normal person, a school teacher, and yet you're vegan, an educator, and starting a vegan educational group. How did this happen to you?
It happened in quite an interesting way, Bob. And it's true, I am what would be considered an average person, just like your average Joe. Before, though, we talk, I was wondering if I could have a moment to address the non-vegans in your audience, because that's our MO at Evolve for Animals. We want to, as much as possible, address the non-vegans that we come across. So I wanted to know if I could have a few minutes to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Thank you, Bob. Dear non-vegans of the world, animal rights activists are lying to you. They are speaking untruths to you at every moment, at every passing, at every encounter, and with every interaction. They are liars who are out there to lie to you, bamboozle you, deceive you, bathing you in fiction, fraudulence, falsehoods, misinformation, and distortions of the truth, and their true intentions. They are vegans who want you to go vegan, and yet are telling you everything but. They have taken a silent oath where they have solemnly swore to tell you half-truths and nothing but the half-truths, so help them, dog. Lying, but we have no time to let sleeping dogs lie, so let's take a look at how this is true before the tick-tock of the clock runs out. When they condemn the fur trim on your coat, but take no objection to the leather stitched in your shoes, please be advised, they are lying to you. When they pat you on the back for participating in a meatless Monday while becoming curiously quiet for the other 6 days of the week, not telling you that there is no moral justification to be using and consuming sentient beings no matter what day it is, they are lying to you. And to themselves, with their moral compass being more acutely attuned to alliteration than to ethics. Cage-free eggs? Well, that's just a message of critical thinking free activism that is firmly drowning in an attempt to lie to you. When they plead with you not to go to the circus, but say nothing of your next trip to the zoo, they are lying to you. Or when they ask you to instead go to a show that uses domesticated animals rather than exotic ones, because that is somehow less cruel, that's just them burning fuel in the direction of nowhere. When they demonize ethically confused celebrities like Kim Kardashian, who are not vegan, while celebrating ethically confused celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres, who are barely vegan, they are lying to you and to themselves, in the most ethically confused way, of course. And neither are Whole Foods or Chipotle your enemy for perpetuating humane myths or happy meat fictions, as animal rights activists may have you believe. The only enemy that exists is the part of your own conscience that allows you to participate in behaviors that do not align with your beliefs. That part of you that opts for value meals over your own value. And when instead of asking you to go vegan, they ask you to choose veg or veggie, they're just continuing on with their pledge to be silly and lie to you. So why does this happen? Why are they doing this? It's because they think your hearts are deficient in their capacity to love, that your minds are incapable of thinking critically, that you lack the ability to see the world clearly for the cruelty that is it is entrenched in, that your moral foundation is cracked at its core. Well, whoops, there I go now, following their lead. I think I just might have lied to you. Okay, so here's the truth, as I see it. The real reason is not because they think you are too ignorant to change, but because they are too incompetent to articulate themselves clearly. A vegan message proves to be just too complicated for the unskilled activist. And so the self-proclaimed and self-absorbed teacher blames the student for failing the class. They fail to recognize that the onus is on them to educate, not on you to magically be educated. It's because they are inherently arrogant. They think that they are morally superior to you, and so the lowly old you could never rise to their level of awareness and alignment with the universe. They rather that you shoulder the burden of their own shortcomings. Yes, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And so these vegans get stuck with their sticky fingers from all that vegan cheese that lingers on their hands as they hop from one vegan restaurant to the next, shoveling vegan food down their vegan gullets, only to stop and take a breath so that they can complain to the choir of their own company about how the world is not going vegan fast enough for them, while not taking a single moment of their time, in their pockets, not a single dime, to engage with you, a non-vegan, in a conversation about why you should go vegan. Lying, as they do more lying down and eating out in a movement that desperately needs them to stand up and step up. Well, here I am to speak up for those of us in the movement that know better. Waiter, check, please. Mike, check, 1, 2. Consider this your checkmate as I say to you that this is your opportunity to prove these people wrong. Is your own beating heart deficient in its capacity to love another being who does not look like you? No? Then prove them wrong. Go vegan. Can you empathize with another suffering? Are you willing to use your dominion over this earth to defend, not destroy others? Yes? Then prove them wrong. Go vegan. Is your mind incapable of thinking critically about the most pressing societal problems of our time? No? Then prove them wrong. Go vegan. I know you can. I know you will. You are inherently good, and you do not enjoy inflicting harm on another. I know you are humble enough to ask for help. I know you want to be on the right side of the widespread wrong. Deep down inside, you know it is unjustifiable to inflict any kind of imposition on another for the purpose of exploiting them. You know, within the crevices of your own conscience, that just because it has always been does not mean it should always be. And just because we can does not mean we should. We can transcend traditions. We can redefine the purpose of our power for the sake of progress. You know that animals are persons, not property. That by every important measure, by breath and by blood, they are just like us. We all bleed red. And in our capacity to suffer, we are all the same. Animal rights is not its own isolated issue either. It is the most important social justice issue of our time. When we really begin to examine closely our exploitation of animals and how it creates horrifying realities to them, devastates international economies, compromises human health, further exacerbates the issues of world hunger, and directly contributes to the destruction of the environment, you will rightly begin to realize that veganism is not its own issue, but rather a panacea of so many of the world's woes, a remedy for so many of society's ills. Together, we can make history and lead humanity into a utopian vision that includes all living beings into our circle of compassion. So stand with me, and let's prove them wrong. Let's stand united as a new generation that is freed by the truth. The truth. Honor the truth. Lead the way. Follow your heart. And live vegan.
Well, all right, Neil. So that's addressing the non-vegans in our audience. And I guess I'll get back to the vegans now. So let's eat. Okay. No.
Let's do it. Give me some seitan.
Yeah. Let's eat real food, you know. Let's not eat death and killing and violence, and let's not eat higher welfare, you know.
There is not enough ketchup you can put on death when you're eating with your own conscience. Bob, There is not enough ketchup in the world to make that taste good.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You know, for us vegans, you know, so many people consider veganism as some kind of state of deprivation. I speak for myself and all vegans when I say that the corpse of an animal ceases to be food. It's not food. I don't miss it in the slightest. There's nothing to miss for something that was never ours and should never be.
Mm-hmm. And something, you know, that should really be repulsive to us. I mean, come on. It's a cadaver. It's a rotting, you know, a rotting cadaver, a murder victim. I mean, it's kind of, yeah, it's... It's amazing, though, how, you know, propaganda and, you know, oops, I hear the music that tells us we need to take a break. And we will continue our discussion with Neil Sagal of Evolve for Animals in the New Jersey, New York metropolitan area. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And I invite you to check out the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Go to the website, buy early bird tickets, worldvegansummit.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the two Bob Linden pages on Facebook, and worldvegansummit.com. Just want you to know, early bird discount tickets are available now for the second World Vegan Summit and Expo, coming July 29th through the 31st of 2016. UC Berkeley, you'll want to be there. Only $77 for 3 days registration right now until August 1st. $67 for college students. And we'll have the vegan education going on. We're talking today to Neil Sagal. He is the founder of Evolve for Animals in the New York City, New Jersey metropolitan area. And so, Neil, you seem to be, you seem to favor outspoken advocacy for the vegan cause and not, you know, it seems like you were talking about so-called animal rights activists who won't approach it directly. And it seems like we have half of them who partner with industry and want people to have cage-free eggs, and then there seems to be an animal rights or a secret vegan society of vegans, in a sense, you know, who, I don't know, they want to deprive people of the information that they have. I don't know. And, you know, talk in hieroglyphics and sloganeering and, you know, so nobody gets to the point like, hey, we got to go vegan.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's what's missing from the movement, and that's what Void Evolve for Animals is trying to fill. You use the word outspoken. I would agree with that. But as a caveat, I would add clear and complete and engaging. You know, so much of the old paradigm of animal rights activism is an antagonistic one. It's one that puts the non-vegan on the defensive and creates an enemy of them. And so we have so many vegan epithets that have emerged, you know, carnist, or, you know, there's such a myriad of them that I cannot keep track. And mostly I can't keep track because I don't use them. They're non-vegan or they're pre-vegan. Everyone's going to go vegan. Everyone has a conscience. Everyone has a heart. Everyone has a mind. So all those three things work together. It's just a matter of having someone engage them in a conversation. And say, look, this is what you care about. Do you care about nonviolence? Of course. Unless you're a sociopath, of course. You know, who's going to disagree with you? No, I believe in violence. No one's going to say that, with the exception of a sociopath. So you have to look at the person in front of you, treat them with some dignity and respect, and have a conversation. And so much of this movement is full of people who are determined to use an antagonistic approach, a deficit model, we call this, so you've mentioned before, I'm a teacher. This is true. And so in the world of pedagogy, the idea that people cannot do something is called a deficit model. Oh, this person cannot learn this. This person cannot perform this. Well, based on what measurement? Empirical? Is it quantitative? Is it qualitative? What are we saying? I can tell you empirically.
As in this person cannot, you're saying as in this person cannot go vegan because blank.
Yeah, right? we come across a non-vegan and we say, oh, they're not gonna go vegan. They don't understand. They're not morally superior like I am. They don't have the intellect that I have. And this assumption, it's an assumption, it's not true. You know. And you know what we say about assumptions. It's not true. And so when we approach them that way, if they should go vegan, we can safely say it's by accident. It's in spite of us, not because of us. So we as a movement have to become more clear. We have to become more direct. We have to become more engaging. And we have to be learners. We have to know what we're talking about when we speak. And so much of this movement is full of activists who have not taken the time to learn. So to the activists in your audience, the only thing I can say to you is that, you know, the first step, if you want to be an activist, is not to pick up a sign. It's not to join a group. It's not to buy a vegan t-shirt. It's to read. It's to study. It's to watch a documentary. It's to read a blog. To have a conversation with a fellow vegan. And then, when you've done all of that, you do this thing called thinking. And you think about what you just heard and what you just digested. What did you just absorb?
And Neil, hang on. We need to take another break. We'll continue our discussion with Neil Sagal of Evolve for Animals on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Earlier in the show, I talked about extinction, how we're on the road. Scientists are saying that, you know, humans are among the walking dead, on the verge of extinction if things keep going as they are going, and they blame climate change and pollution and deforestation, all of those caused by consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And I don't want to go extinct. I want to start Radio Bobby, my music station on the internet. What I used to do in real life was play music on the radio. So please help delay extinction so I have the opportunity to play music again on the radio, on RadioBobby.com. One of these days soon, I hope. I have the URL. I have lots of lists of music, and I just don't want to go extinct yet, okay? So today we're talking to Neil Sagal, who is with Evolve for Animals, in the New York City metropolitan area, New Jersey. How is it that you went vegan yourself, Neil?
I went vegan by accident, Bob. That's the whole problem. I came across a whole lot of vegetarian messages. I came across a whole lot of humane meat messages. And at some point, I came across the film The Cove. And I watched The Cove. And it almost seemed by destiny, because in the same week, I came across some footage, some behind-the-scenes investigative footage. I came across the podcast of Gary Francione. I came across the podcast of Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, all in the same week, and it all converged into this moment where I said to myself, before the podcast and before the footage, I saw the cove, and I said, oh my goodness, we will use animals for any reason we feel like. There is no limitation to humans' imposition on animals. I think I have to go vegan. I said this to my sister. She watched it. I watched it. We watched it together. She said, oh, they should stop that. That was her reaction to the film. And my reaction was, oh, I think I got to go vegan. I barely know what I'm saying. I'm like, I think it has something to do with not using animals. I think. But all I know is that I have to do it because we as a human race have run amok. We have exceeded anything that justifies what we're doing. There is no justification. And so the more I got into it, the more I learned that I said, this is not about treatment. This is about use. And I went vegan. And in that same week, I joined protests. I joined some groups. I've met many great people. I just find that their approach to be problematic. And at the end of the day, the first versions of Evolve for Animals started within that month, and it was an articulation that was all-encompassing that discussed animals not just in terms of food, veganism in terms of food, but in all use, and the abolition without equivocation, without apology, in all circumstances, that we have no justification to be using animals. I went vegan, and I became an activist within the same month.
And then what was the distinction, you thought, between your group and the others? You said you thought something was ineffective with their approach?
Well, I mean, to some degree, and I think we don't have enough time to get into the story, but my close friends know this story. There's a large part of me that did not go vegan due to a one-week experience I had interning at PETA. Where the messages were so confused and so and it gave me so many avenues not to choose the vegan route that I look at the mainstream movement of single issue campaigns, of the approach that is used of not using the word vegan, which is something infamously used by DXE, for example. It leads to ethical confusion. And when I look at how I became vegan, I said, I have to at least be part of something that tells people what I'm trying to say, that I'm not lying to people, that I'm not trying to assume the worst in people, that I assume the best in people, and that I try to articulate myself clearly. And so as I started to become a teacher, you know, that was one part of my life, and veganism was another part of my life. I said, no, actually, they're two of the same. They're exactly the same thing. We have to teach people to become vegan. And if someone taught me clearly how to be vegan, I would have done it a lot sooner. I was a vegetarian, Bob, for 10 years. For 10 years, I was a vegetarian.
I'm embarrassed to say I think it was 13 for me. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Oh,
so
I'm
am
so
I.
Embarrassed.
I say
really?
The same thing. I look at it with disdain. I did not look at it with pride at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in 1971, I was cooking a chicken. You know, I was in college. I was at Queens College in New York City and cooking a chicken one evening and looked down. I said, this is somebody's body. It was like somebody died for me to be eating, and I don't know if I can participate in the violence anymore. And that was the thought I had. And then it was, well, what do I eat then? You know, and then my first, you know, for a while I thought, oh, well, the oceans are plentiful. The oceans are here to feed us until, they're gasping for breath too. That doesn't seem right. So I'll just go along and keep eating eggs and dairy for forever, thinking nobody gets hurt, when I should have stopped eggs and dairy first, you know, if I were really concerned for animals. But, you know, where was somebody to be direct to me? That's what I'm thinking, you know.
Of course. Of course. And so this movement is rife with people who are not clear. They're not direct. And they're certainly not speaking in a truthful manner. And so that's what Evolve for Animals is trying to do. We're trying to speak about things in a all-encompassing way, in a clear way, in an engaging way, in a way that respects the person in front of us. And I think that's how we're different from the rest.
Mm-hmm. I should let people know that normally Professor Gary Francione is on at this time. He's off this week. He was the keynote speaker at the Vegetarian Summerfest, where I'm sure he told them they should be changing the name to Vegan Summerfest. But the word vegetarian has been around a long time before it was hijacked, and
vegetarian used to mean vegan.
Yeah.
But then you're right, it got co-opted, hijacked, and so now we are resorting now, thanks to Donald or Thea Watson, to vegan. It's good that we have a new word. Unfortunately, there's people like Bruce Friedrich out there trying to redefine vegan, and so that's what we're trying to combat as we move into the next year, 5 and 10 in front of us.
Right. Well, see, so vegetarian was compromised for a while by industry to be lacto-vegetarian, then ovo-vegetarian, then you just drop the lacto and ovo, and now, you know, who knows how we're trying to compromise the, you know, we'll be, you know...
Can I be an ovo-lacto-vegan? Is that possible?
Exactly. That's exactly how it can be.
I was thinking of converting to vegan after 6.
Vegan after 6. There you go, Mark Bittman. So, right. It's cool. It's so cool to be vegan. It's so cool to be vegan. Except, you know, I don't want to do the work. So, okay, I'll be vegan. You know, before 6, before dinner. You know, I mean, or yeah.
I'm vegan with friends. I'm vegan on Saturday night vegan. How about that?
Right there. I'm vegan between meals. I'm vegan when I'm sleeping. So, you know, there, that's it. And Mark Bittman said that he cheats, like, as soon as he wakes up, he puts dairy in his coffee. So, you know, even vegan before 6, he cheats with, you know, as soon as his eyes open, you know. So, you know, cheating, you know. Sorry, doesn't count. You're not a vegan, so.
You know what the unfortunate thing is, Bob, is that he's given permission to act in such a ridiculous manner by so many animal-related organizations. You know, they call themselves animal rights. I don't. I call them animal-related because there's an animal somewhere in their message, but they are not advocating for animals. And so people like Mark Bittman exist because of the larger organizations who give them permission to act in such a ridiculous manner.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look at all of the humane meat, sustainable meat, and you know, all of those products exist because they get an animal rights seal of approval on enriched cages, cage-free. The words all sound so liberating, except they're, you know, they reflect the opposite of what's actually happening. So, you know, I mean, it's like taking the words, you know, like vegetarian, and then taking the word humane, and you know, welfare. Everything sounds so good, cage-free. Everybody's so liberated, free range, you know? And it's horror, and that's what we're being sold.
I think I want to coin a new phrase, Bob, and I would like to know if you approve of this.
Okay,
I would like to coin the phrase "vagoogie," which means vegan when I feel like it. And I'm wondering if I use it enough times, PETA might co-opt that phrase as their own.
Well, and then, you know, they have the attitude like, oh, it's too much to be picky about ingredients. People will think you're too picky. You know, I think people will think you're consistent with your morality I don't know. It's very strange. So what kind of activities then do you do? So you have Evolve for Animals, and... So what is your activism? What is your vegan, I hate to say vegan outreach, because, you know, they too are, you know, everybody's compromised. Everybody's running from the word vegan. And that's exactly what we right. need. You know, we have every reason to go vegan, and then we, you know, we're being told go cage free, you know, by you're right. It's a movement that's a joke because it's led by the Humane Society of the United States, which is led by a pig farmer. And again, and the word farmer then is compromised. It's a pig breeder killer. But we'll continue. Neil, stay with us. We're talking to Neil Sagal of Evolve for Animals on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Get your discount tickets now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at GoVeganRadio. Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. And get your discount, your early bird discount tickets right now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Next July, it's July 2016, campus of the University of California at Berkeley. Professor Gary Francione will be making presentations on a daily basis, all 3 days. Get your discount tickets now at worldvegansummit.com. And also right now, well, it's hot. It's summer. Ice cream. You scream. We all scream for ice cream, especially the cows, the baby cow, the mother, all who suffer horrendously because of the cruelty that is ice cream. However, yeah, why not have snow cones instead, right? Go to naturesflavors.com. Here's a wonderful vegan company, thousands of products. And if you buy 2 32-ounce snow cone syrups, you get a snow cone machine for free. So enjoy your ices guilt-free. Nobody has to scream for ice cream. Just enjoy the snow cones. Go to naturesflavors.com. Just so many products. They're all vegan. You know, essential oils, tea tree essential oil there, and various syrups. There's a Nature's Flavors sample pack of organic lip balm flavor oils, and, you know, flavor your spring water with flavors from Nature's Flavors or organic. Just check it out, naturesflavors.com. Order online. And also thanks for support of the program and the World Vegan Summit and Expo from Selectee. That's S-E-E-L-E-C-T, selectee.com. Go to its website, order online. The second most popular beverage in the world behind water. Maybe just a couple of minutes left. We're talking to Neil Sagal today from Evolve for Animals in the metropolitan New York, New Jersey area. So, Neil, what activities involve your group? What are you doing?
Well, we are education-based. We are all-encompassing. We speak for the abolition of all animal use. That comes in the form of leafleting, tabling, public speaking engagements, multimedia engagements. There's so many different methods by which we use our education-based approach. If you want to learn more, you can visit evolveforanimals.org. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Pinterest. You can find us on Instagram. And all of you out there, if you want to speak for animals in the most effective way possible, please find our articulation online. You can download our literature for free and print it and give it to a family or friends. And I highly encourage also everyone to go to this vegan summit conference that you have, Bob. It sounds fantastic. I know for certain that you are going to have people there who are going to speak truth in a movement that is speaking nothing but lies. So thank you for that, for giving a platform to those people.
Well, it's a necessity. it has to be done. Somebody has to do it, and we had the first one in March, and people really thought it was an awesome event, and so by popular demand, we will do one next year in Northern California. This time, UC Berkeley. Again, the tickets available at worldvegansummit.com. Professor Francione will be there, and some of the speakers who were there at the first one. We'll have different ones at this one. We'll have, you know, of course, be examining the morality of eating animals. And also, in the midst of the drought, we'll have a water and drought crisis forum, climate crisis forum at this. And great food will be available, and we look forward to it. I hope that maybe you'll be able to come out with some of your friends with Evolve for Animals, Neil.
I know we'll all be excited to be there, for sure. You can count on that.
Terrific. Okay. So, again, tell us your website again is?
EvolveForAnimals.org. And, again, you can find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram. And if you are a non-vegan and you need mentorship, email us at mail@EvolveForAnimals.org. If you are an activist and you want to get into a more clear line of thinking and efficient and effective way of advocating for animals, you can email us at mail@evolveforanimals.org.
Thanks a lot. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Go vegan.